Welcome to another episode of the Salt City Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Chase Carter, joined here with my brother, Clay. It's April 17th, 2018, and we are here for another episode. What's up, man?
Let's get it. Yeah, Chase, I'm excited. We've got a big episode planned tonight. Lots to cover with the, especially with the NBA playoffs. Some crazy first round, first games. And so we'll hit all that, and we've got some fun over-unders and a really cool prop bet later in the show. So I'm excited. Let's get it going.
All right. Yeah, let's jump right into our normal segment that we start off the show, and that's Peaks and Valleys. Why don't you start us off this week?
Okay. So I'll start with the valley here. You know, not to bring the show to a halt in a hurry, but my valley is just our beloved Jams going down in game one. We battled. It was kind of a crazy game. We got a full dose of Paul George, and you know, we'll talk about the game a little bit later, but I was so excited. There really is nothing like a Jazz playoff game. It is true that the whole city state kind of comes together, you know, BYU, Utah fans. We don't have an NFL team, obviously, so the Jazz are like everybody's true first love when it comes to the state of Utah. I talked myself up into game one so hard. You know, obviously I bet on the Jazz. I took us in the spread, money line, and kind of a bummer. Like, we have a lot of guys on our team that came out in first playoff game, you know, even for Ricky. Obviously Donovan's a rookie. And we just, I feel like we played hard. We just ran into, like I said, Paul George. But so that was kind of my valley. You know, I was excited coming into the week, and then we kind of took it on the chin. So that was a low point for me, you know?
Yeah. And we'll kind of do a full breakdown of this series and the playoffs in general. And we'll talk about what we need to do to fix it, and we'll kind of dive into that. But yeah, it just sucks to lose game one. I mean, there goes a sweep, you know?
Yeah. Well, so, we'll have to get them in five now.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of the plan for going forward. But, so my valley this week is, it's kind of going back to my classic, and that's the gym a little bit, but not really. So I teach at church. I teach the Elders Quorum, for those who know what that is. And generally, it's like 18-year-old to, I don't know, 50-year-olds maybe, you could say. Kind of depends. But I kind of talked about this a little bit. They kind of joined the two groups in the LDS Church. The older guys, the high priests, and the elders are now under in one group together. And like all the Elders Quorum presidencies and all the group, like the high priest group leaders got released, and they were going to recall everybody to, and kind of like redo the whole organization of it, you'd say. So I'm friends with our Elders Quorum president, and I was talking to him and I said, "Hey, did you get released yet?" And he hadn't yet. And I actually missed the Sunday after general conference after they made that announcement. And he told me it got a little heated in our, with the two groups having to mix. The old guys weren't happy they had to come hang out with the young pups, you know? And basically there was no lesson given. They just argued for the whole hour, last hour of church. And it was kind of, sounded a little hostile. And so I said, "Well, I'm supposed to teach next week. Am I still supposed to teach? Should I prepare a lesson?" And he was like, "Yeah, but I don't really know what's going to happen. I'll talk to you in the middle of the week, and I might not be present anymore. They might change everything, you know?" So I was like, "Okay." So around Thursday, you know, I still haven't prepared a lesson, and because I'm kind of hoping I'm just going to get out of it type deal, you know, I get a text that says, "Hey, do you have a lesson for this week?" And I was like, "No, but I can do one." And then it turned into, "Oh, don't worry about it." And I was like, "Okay, no big deal." Plus, I was actually planning on not going to church that day because we were going to go try and see Spencer pitch. We were going to the Utah game, which was at 1, my church at 11. So I was like, this kind of works out. I got out of teaching, right? Great. Flash forward to Monday. I'm walking into the gym Monday morning. I don't go to church. I don't go teach. I go to the baseball game. It was great. Great day. I'm walking in and I see a guy from church I know and I'm talking to him. And then another guy walks in and we're all kind of talking about church. I'm like, hey, have you guys heard anything yet about Elders Corp? Did they end up releasing everybody? And that guy says, no, not yet. We're not sure. Da, da, da. And the guy goes, yeah. It was kind of weird yesterday. The guy that was supposed to teach didn't show. I'm like, did they say who it was? And he goes, I think it was you. And I was like,
what?
Actually, I was told I didn't have to teach, but that makes me sound great. So to everybody, I just no-showed on the lesson.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. So one guy just got up there and just kind of winged it. And wow. I was like, oh, geez. So just was embarrassing because now everybody thinks I just cut out and didn't want to teach or whatever. I mean, I didn't want to teach, but I just no-showed instead of, I was told, like, don't worry about it. Yeah. Big deal. It's covered, you know? Oh, man, it was just super embarrassing. So I was just like, oh, well, all right. And now I just wish I was released and didn't have to teach anymore at all because super embarrassing.
Wow.
I struggle enough trying to relate to the elders that are like older than me. I'm a young guy for our ward. Now I've got like 16 and 17 year old dudes in there. We just don't have any of the same experiences. So
I don't know. I just imagine like the old guys in there.
They have grandkids older than me.
Yeah.
You know,
get off my Book of Mormon. I don't know.
That's so, exactly what they say.
Somehow you started out at church and still ended up in the gym.
Yeah.
So that was just impressive.
Where my life happens. So. What about your peak?
Well, you technically won't have to teach again for what? Like 8 weeks? Is that how many people they rotate through?
This is hard, but I'm actually toying with just giving them the old, like, hey guys, been teaching for like 2 years now. I think I'm done.
Have you really?
Yeah, I think I'm going to tell them that.
But have you been teaching for 2 years?
Yeah.
How often do you have to teach?
Everyone's going to laugh. I teach like once every 4 to 5 weeks.
Is that a lot or not a lot?
Not a lot at all.
How many people do they normally rotate here to teach that thing?
Depends on the ward, but in our ward, they called a bunch of people to teach just because I think people, they don't like to. So I only teach a couple times a year, you know, but it's just, yeah.
There you go. All right. Well, we'll be looking forward to your next lesson. So my peak is, might seem a little weird to a lot of people. And it's weird today. We got the snow today. Chase was insane. Did you guys get bad up here?
I have a Ring doorbell, you know, the thing that notifies you, a video doorbell.
Humble brag.
Yeah. Thank you. And I was getting notifications all night that there's motion at my door. And it was the snow blowing sideways.
Yeah, we woke up and there was, I'm not kidding, like 10 inches of snow on the grass and the cars and everything. And it was wet and heavy snow and it didn't stick too long. The sun came out in the afternoon.
Right.
And it almost all melted almost immediately. But last Saturday, my peak was being able to mow my lawn for the first time this spring. I freaking love mowing my lawn. I don't have a ride-on mower. I have a push mower. I like to get out, you know.
Get moving.
Feel the sun on the back of my neck. No, it's just like this. I don't know. I think
it's
I
me.
Get
it. It's you time. It's me time. I like to enjoy. I like mowing my lawn too.
I just like to sit there and think, and it's a good time to sit there and think for like an hour. And I think I get that from our dad. Our dad loves to mow the lawn, and I've got it now. I just love to get out and mow the lawn, so. It was exciting to get out in the yard and mow the lawn for the first time this year. And I'm a simple man, and that's my peak.
I love it. I've mowed as well. I mowed and put down some nitrogen, you know, put down some weed and feed. Still have dandelions everywhere.
So I'm got to get ahead of those dandelions. Yep.
I'm going to be getting the Roundup out here soon. So I'm with you. I appreciate it. It's just nice to get a little me time, get some exercise in, you know.
Love it. Nice.
So my peak is also, well, it's also going to be another little humble brag, I guess. But I joined a elite club of people. Not elite, but.
Some would say one of them sitting across from me right now.
Yeah, that's just true. My birthday is in May, and I already made Britt give me a present. It's ridiculous. It's April 17th. Yeah, I know how that sounds.
3 weeks early.
I already gave her Mother's Day present, too. So
wow.
Not a lot of patience in this family. I actually should tell that story, too. It's pretty funny. But I went and got an Apple Watch. For me, it's mostly, I think we kind of agree on this. It's not necessary. It is not a necessary piece of technology like a cell phone is. And you can even argue a cell phone isn't necessary, but in today's world, you know what I mean?
It is, yeah.
It is for us, but the Apple Watch isn't necessary. Mm. But I do like it for working out, for heart rate monitoring. That's what I really wanted was a heart rate monitor and step count and everything. I'd had a Fitbit before, but I had like one of the very first ones that didn't even tell time. So it was like annoying to me. So you just get like the notifications on your wrist, whatever. It's cool. Can't really wear it when I play basketball. So that kind of sucks, but not a huge deal. Yeah, it's a nice thing. Like I'm happy I got it. I'm happy with it. It's cool.
You know what? Well, first of all, they're on like the
Series 3.
I think, the third generation now, which is always kind of the best thing to do with Apple is to wait a generation or two. And you know, you're right. It isn't like completely necessary, but it does make life just a little bit better and a little bit more efficient. Like when your phone is in your pocket, it sounds ridiculous, but it is nice when you get a text or a call to just look at your wrist to see if you need to pull your phone out to respond right away or to answer. That makes a difference. And do you have a booger?
No.
Oh, you were giving me a little bit of a runny nose. You know that international sign of like, hey, you have something in your nose, so you wipe your own nose?
Yeah.
What is that? Why do we do that? Like,
I just think
hey, you have a booger, so I'm going to pretend like I have one.
I think we see how dumb the other person looks, and so we have to check ourselves real quick.
First of all, if we're like barely acquaintances,
yeah,
go ahead and tell me if I have a booger or something in my teeth. Like, I appreciate it. People just let me walk around with a freaking head of lettuce in between my two big, just have two giant front teeth. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff can get lodged in there. Please tell me, folks, if you see something, like, come on, I thought we were buds.
They won't.
I do it. I go, hey.
You tell a person you have no idea who they are, you say, hey.
No. I said, not like a stranger, but like if I've met you and shook your hand before, yeah, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I will.
I only tell close family and friends.
Why? We all need to help each other. We're in this thing together.
I only like close family and friends, so no, I'm just kidding.
No, it is funny to let someone walk around with something that you don't like, but like if I kind of know you, give me a heads up.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway, what was I saying?
Apple Watch.
Yeah, it's nice to pull it out let me back up. It's nice to be able to look down at your watch and see if you need to respond to that text right away or whatever. And I don't know. It's kind of cool.
It's a little extra, but it's also cool.
It reminds me to stand up every hour or something for 1 minute.
It's like, okay, time to stand. And you're like, gosh, all right.
It's kind of cool.
I do need to tell the quick story about Britt's Mother's Day present. There's kind of a trend, you could say, of like those vertical or horizontal gold bars, and they get stuff like engraved on them, you know?
Yeah.
And Britt showed me that she wanted one with either like a Q on it or Quinn for our baby girl that we had, you know, and then Quinn's birthday. And she sent me a couple of them. She's like, hey, here's a Mother's Day present idea. And so I went ahead and went to order it. Of course, it had expired, like the deal they were having. So I had to go out on Etsy and find like the same thing, which was really easy. 100 people do it, you know, and I put it in there, and this one came with the birthstone, the two bars, two things you could say. So I just put like Quinn's name and then her birthday, got it ordered. And I'm like, Mother's Day done a month early. This is awesome. You know, well, it comes and Britt saw it. And so I'm like, she already knows. So I let her open it. She puts it right on.
You guys.
And, we go to dinner.
What are you getting for Christmas?
That's next month. Stay tuned.
Good. Wow.
I know. Okay. It's ridiculous. It's not normally like this. I don't know what happened, but it just did this year. So she puts it on. We go to Maddox. We've food reviewed that place. Great place. Went there for Bailey's birthday.
Bomb steakhouse.
Yeah. And we're sitting there and Britt's showing people and da 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 da, everyone's playing with Q. And then like 30 minutes later, Britt goes, "Hey, why don't you look at this?" I'm like, "Okay."
Wrong birthday.
Yep.
Really?
I got the date right, but I put July 3rd, 2018. She was born on July 3rd last year, 2017. So I got the wrong date.
That's so good. I'm so glad that happened.
Yeah. I was
how
like,
much was oh. it? How much did you spend on this thing?
Like $200.
No,
no, it was like $25, $30. So I emailed them and told them, and I was like, "Hey, I'll pay for another bar. I just need one. I'm an idiot. I put the wrong date." And they're like, "Oh, don't worry about it. We'll just send you another one for free." That was really, really cool.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. That so, was nice of them.
But yeah, so my daughter was born in the future. So
that's awesome.
No,
not a lot of people can say that.
Yeah. She was born in 3 months. So
that's incredible. It's funny that it took Britt a while.
Oh yeah. It took everybody. Like everybody looked at it. Everybody's oh, so cute. And then all of a sudden, like, "Hey, right. anything look wrong to this?" And I was like, "Nope." And she's like, "Look at the ear."
That's good stuff.
So, all right, let's jump into the Jazz. Let's just cover playoffs in general.
Let's do it.
And then we'll cover the Jazz more in depth. So the playoffs have been, real quick, I'm just going to get on a quick little soapbox.
Uh-oh.
Guys, this is like, don't get me wrong, love me some UMBC. Love Loyola Chicago. I love the Cinderella stories of March Madness. I love the one and done, like, you know, big tournament. But when it comes to the game of basketball, and the purists, I think they'll believe me and they'll stick with me that the NBA playoffs are the absolute best. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I mean, when you word it that way, it's not even close, right? Like,
yeah, it's the best basketball on earth for 2 months.
And everyone likes to say their sport has the best athletes, but I really do believe that the NBA has the best athletes on the planet. You know what I mean? When it comes down to it, like the most athletic people play the game of basketball.
Yeah.
And so it's just played at such a high level at the NBA. And like you said, 40 days and 40 nights of basketball, of NBA playoff games.
40 games and 40 nights. Yeah. That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
No, it's so great, man. It's just, like I said, I love March Madness. It's just a different sport. It's a different style tournament. With the NBA Finals or the NBA playoffs, you get like a true champion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every series is 7 games. Every series is grueling for the most part. I'm expecting a little bit more parity this year, actually. And people want to say like, "Well, it's always going to be the Cavs and the Warriors." Like, well, they're the best teams. There's no one can question that, right? And I love the NBA playoffs more than anything. So I'm super amped, and it's been great so far. The biggest, I would say, upset or surprise, everything's kind of gone to plan so far, I would say, would be the Pelicans over the Trailblazers, game one. Would you agree?
Yeah, you know, I think the Pelicans, I've been fading all year. Like, I just haven't believed in them all year.
Mm-hmm.
Kept thinking they were going to fall out of the playoffs, especially when Cousins went down. It was like, what's going on?
And everyone thought they were falling out.
Yeah.
But they kind of came together.
Yeah. And then, like, Drew Holiday is playing out of his mind. And I don't think he's actually playing out of his mind. I think he's finally, like, grown into the player that he actually is. And
like hitting his prime.
Yeah, well, he might be easily in the top 10 defensive guards in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's getting it done on the offensive end, too. He's been impressive. Then you have, I don't know, with no Kawhi playing this year, is AD maybe the second best two-way player in the game? I mean, he's up there. He's a top 5 two-way player for sure.
He's a top 10 player in the NBA.
Oh yeah,
maybe top 5.
Yeah,
he's unbelievable.
So you have those two guys, and then you have playoff Rondo running around. You have guys that can shoot threes. I don't know. They're the biggest surprise. The Pacers are probably not too far behind and winning that first game in Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah, not for me, but yeah. I just laugh at the Cleveland's defense. It's so bad, dude.
Me too, dude.
So, like, that wasn't surprising to me. They gave up, what, 130? Whatever it was.
Yeah, I don't even know. They've been playing.
Oh, it wasn't 130. No, that was Heat 76ers. Sorry. The Pacers beat Cleveland 98-80.
Yeah.
Cleveland put up 80 points in game one. Wow.
They looked bad. Pacers came out and played very well. The Sixers looked really good in that game one. And then Spoelstra, man, so underrated. The Heat came out and smashed them.
Yep.
In game two. So
went right at Ben Simmons, got him in foul trouble, took him off the court.
Yep.
And sorry, ladies and gentlemen, TJ McConnell is not Ben Simmons. Can't run that team.
No.
And they were smart and they started fouling him. They started fouling Ben Simmons kind of late in the game. And he can't make free throws.
Right.
Your rookie of the year, ladies and gentlemen. Can't shoot past six feet. It's insane.
They had a great game plan. The Pelicans, shout out to my buddy Mark. He actually had the Pelicans in game one.
Wow.
He was all over them. He had a money line, went in the spread. He had a first half, full game, and he just pounded them, and he was right. I loved the Blazers in that game one spot. I loved them in this game two spot, and, you know, as we're recording this, they're down in the fourth quarter again in game two by six, about 10 minutes to go in that one. So,
but who's down?
The Blazers.
Oh, I was going to say, okay, you were talking about the Pelicans.
Yeah, sorry. I'm going back.
I haven't pulled up here too, and the Pelicans have kind of been winning all game.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be crazy if they get two there. That series is over, I would think.
I agree.
So Portland's got to be desperate here in the last 10 minutes to keep their playoff hopes alive. But what else did you like in game?
Let's talk about just one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. And that is Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs. The Warriors are still the team to beat. They're defending champs, right? They are not the same team without Steph, for sure. They look vulnerable. But a Kawhi-less Spurs is not going to beat them. Mm-mm. It's pretty obvious. I guess I'm just, I cannot believe this whole thing with Kawhi. He just refuses to play. What are your thoughts on it?
You know, it's interesting. I should have hot takes, but I don't really care. Like, I don't know if this is all true about Kawhi. Obviously, I'm going to lose a lot of respect for him. Like, if he's able to play and he's just not, that would piss me off. And if I was a Spurs fan, I would be kind of beside myself, because I would be like, what camp do you believe?
Right.
Spurs and Pop or Kawhi's camp? Or I don't know. There's not enough details. It's weird how this whole story's played out. Is he really going to be available? Like, that's crazy to me. I mean, he's under contract. So,
you know, after the season when they're done.
Yeah. Like, are they going to be forced to trade him, like a Kyrie sort of situation?
Yeah. I just have a hard time understanding. It almost feels like people want to be on the Spurs, you know, like, oh, I'd love to be part of the Spurs organization type, play for one of the greatest coaches of all time. And he wants nothing to do with it.
Especially because he does seem like a low key guy.
Yeah. Played 9 games this year. Obviously came off the ankle injury last year with Zaza Pachulia in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. When he looked like he was maybe going to lead them to the finals. we all know what happened there. And then had the quad issue and never really saw the floor. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. It's just a really weird situation, and kind of, I would say, uncharacteristic of the Spurs organization ever being in a situation like that to begin with. You know, they're kind of like the Patriots of the NBA. People want to be there. When they're there, they're very businesslike. They play within the system. They only get certain players for certain reasons. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's just odd. But I guess the Patriots also had a murderer on their team. So
yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of them.
Yep. What about, let's just go over Raps, Wizards. The Raptors are up 2-0. They won tonight. That looks like, I mean, they're like down. Decent games, but the Wizards just look like a better team. Or no, I'm sorry, the Raptors just look like a better team.
Well, the Wizards got down like almost 30 in this game and then cut it to like 4. mm-hmm. in the final minutes, which is just crazy to me that that happens in playoff games. The adjustments are insane. In-game adjustments by some of these coaches. But, yeah, I think the Raptors are going to be able to get by the Wizards. I don't know. The Raptors don't feel like – they feel like one of the weakest one seeds in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, the East does seem wide open. But the Heat, I feel like if they somehow got past the Sixers, they could make – why couldn't they make noise? Like, I could see them beating any one of those teams ahead of them.
In a seven-game series, yeah. Absolutely.
So
because of their coach.
Yeah, the East is wide open.
Real quick, the Raptors, for the first time in franchise history, have a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, they're not used to winning, so we'll see if they can hold on to that.
Kind of wild.
That lead. You know, the Bucks, Celtics won again tonight. That series looks like it's going to be a little bit closer than I thought. Even though the Celtics do have President Stevens, that Bucks defense is insane. Now, they still are young, and they make some mental lapses. They have some mental also lapses.
Also, don't have a good coach.
They don't have a great coach. But, man, when they played Giannis. At the five, they're super long. It's crazy. They were blocking shots in that first game. Like, it was fun to watch.
Did you know that if John Henson and Giannis are on opposite baselines, they can touch, their hands touch. They meet in the middle of
half their court. Hands.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how long they are.
Yeah.
Well, it's not one of my worst jokes ever. Like, just give me one out of 10 rating.
I would give it, I wish I had more hands. So what else we got, Chase?
Rockets. That looks like, I mean, the Wolves hung around in game one, 3-point game.
Harden, what a crazy ending to that game.
Yeah, that was wild. Harden, it was kind of weird. Like, the Rockets were in control the whole time, but the Timberwolves just hung around,
yep.
hung around. And it's kind of how the Jazz with Thunder was a little bit. Like, the Jazz, it kind of got out of hand. We put the reserves in with, like, 4 or 5 minutes left, and they made a little run, which is interesting. That wasn't the case with Timberwolves-Rockets. But I don't know. It's like, I was convinced that the Rockets were the team to beat. And, yeah, it's one game. We'll see what happens tomorrow. But it was like, this doesn't look like a 1-8 seed to me.
Right. And well, the thing is, the Wolves have weapons.
Right.
Like, they have Jimmy Butler, they have Andrew Wiggins, they have Kat. Those guys are dudes that can almost get you like 40. It's like
Crawford can go off for 20 at any given moment.
It's the Thunder. It's like the Thunder. They have two guys that can get you 40 or even 50 in a playoff game. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
So they're going to make it interesting. What else you got from the first round, Chase?
That's it for me. I mean, I'm going to keep an eye on that Heat Sixers series. That's probably my favorite series out of all of them.
I think so too.
And then we can dive into Jazz Thunder. So,
all right. So the Jazz obviously went to OKC. They ran into quote unquote playoff P puke. And, you know, we were kind of worried, like, this was a bad matchup for us. We've said all along, it kind of came true. Steven Adams did what we didn't want him to do, and that was grab key offensive rebounds, gave them extra possessions. We shot the ball okay, some of us. It took a while for Joe to get going. Ricky struggled a little bit shooting the ball. Donovan played pretty well, honestly, mm-hmm. in his first playoff game. He kept us in it. Favors was kind of a no-show for a lot of the game, which worried me. And then Rudy was pretty much neutralized by Steven Adams. Westbrook didn't really go off. He didn't get to the rim a lot. I think we defended him well.
Yeah.
They took a lot of tough mid-range jumpers, but they knocked him down.
Yep.
And so I think if you look back, you don't really want to be results-oriented over a seven-game series. You want to look at the process and what you're doing on the defensive end to the other team. And I think we would say we were successful because we forced them into a lot of mid-range jumpers and tough shots, and they knocked them down. Obviously, we don't want Paul George catching and shooting threes as much as he did. You got to put him you got to get up into him, make him go off the bounce. He's a lot worse off the dribble when he shoots.
Right.
But he was just catching and shooting some of those and knocking them down. So,
and I will say he made eight. He was 8 for 11 on threes. And it feels like three, maybe four of those I can think of off the top of my head were just like borderline heat check, like catch and shoot. Somebody's on him,
mm-hmm.
and it was nothing but net.
There's the one of them. Yeah, into the corner.
Yeah, one of them, he came around a curl screen, got bumped by Steven Adams, tried to make it a foul, goes in.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, okay. And he was just on fire. And, you know, they scored 116 on us. We were fouling at the end. They had a 35-point quarter in the fourth. I'd like to think that – I think we kind of talked about holding him under 100.
Yeah, we want to play in the 90s.
We want to play in the 90s. Then that's more our game, right? But, yeah, I agree with you, Derek. I mean, 30 minutes, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 7 points. That's not playoff acceptable. And he played, it was kind of weird because it kind of felt like he played decent, but then in the beginning of the game, and then he really just, yeah, disappeared. And for getting 30 minutes, it doesn't feel like that stat line.
We just didn't, to give him, not to put it all on him, but we didn't really involve him. He wasn't in the offensive plan at all.
Right.
And so, you know, it's hard to get yourself going when you're not touching the ball at all on the other end. But he's got to find ways to get offensive. He's got to be Steven Adams almost. Get offensive rebounds. He's got to set good picks. He's got to defend on the perimeter. Put him on even Melo, I think.
Yeah, which we did a few possessions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, as much as we can't let them get offensive rebounds, we weren't even trying for him because we were so afraid of them running.
Yeah.
Everybody got back. And that's kind of hard because that's kind of how Derek eats, right? He can hang around the rim and either get a little drop-off pass or get a putback or get a rebound and throw it back up. But
yeah.
I'll say this. Like, the thing that I didn't like about game one was, you know, we can expect 10, I would say maybe 12 to 13 and 7 or 8 from Ricky. We can expect, I don't know, maybe 15 to 25 from Donovan, closer to the 25. He's going to get the ball a lot, basically is all I'm saying. But we need somebody else to have a game. We need somebody to score 15 or 16 points. Royce O'Neal, 1 point in 20 minutes. Jay Crowder did decent, 13 points. Derek Seven, we talked about. Joe, late in the game, finally came on, but 13 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. He usually has a lot more assists for us. They frustrated him, and that was Paul George. Dante finally figured out, like, there was early in the game, I don't know if you saw, he was very tentative driving, and he finally figured out in the second half, like, I'm not stopping, just go. He has that quick first step, and he would go all the way to the rack, and he finished pretty well. But the 5 shots before that, it was a turnover or a miss, you know?
Yeah.
So we just need, you know, we're a team. We're not going to have, we don't have the guy that can go for 50. Yeah, we have Donovan, but he also has Paul George or Russell Westbrook or the like, you know, guarding him. So we need pretty consistent numbers from everybody.
Yeah.
And there wasn't like just that third person to put up 20 points or whatever.
Well, we need Ingles. It sucks that they were smart. They actually put PG on Ingles in the first half, and Joe struggled because, first of all, PG is one of the best defenders in the league, on the ball defenders, obviously, and his length really bothered Joe. But Joe is the second guy, Chase, that we have to get going, because a lot of our offense comes not only from him knocking down threes, but him in pick and roll creating. He's our second leading assist guy. So we got to get Joe going a little bit more. We got to find ways to get him involved. It was tough for us to penetrate to the middle, you know, break down the and get into the paint.
The first Donovan 5 minutes it wasn't, but then the rest of the game it was.
Once they figured out kind of what we were doing, they locked us down. A guy who might need more run in this game, who's got the best first step on the Jazz? My boy, AB, dude. I know he in the playoffs, he doesn't, don't give me that. He turns the ball over a little bit. He's not great on defense, but honestly, if we need someone to break down their defense,
yeah,
for a couple of possessions, give it to AB. Look, he came in, got quick eight quick points.
10, almost, ended with 10.
Yeah. Almost covered the damn spread by himself.
I know. One guy in that same vein who I just, it was very apparent we couldn't play, was Jonas Drebko. He came in, missed two threes, and I think he let Melo hit two or three on him. Like, got lost defensively. That's a tough... I don't know what it is, but, like, Melo wanted Jonas Jerebko guarding him, and he went right at him. So, don't know if we'll see much of him, you know?
He looked like he'd never played in... Like, he looked shell-shocked almost.
And do you remember against the Cavs last year, the Celtics, like, Jonas was a big part of their playoff team.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about.
He was super aggressive, played really well. Jittery. Yeah, it might have just been that. And so... But I think we both agree. We just need something from somewhere. So we'll see what we do in game two. There's grumblings of Donovan Mitchell not playing. He hurt his foot. It was kind of cool to see him just fight to play. I would be shocked if he doesn't play tomorrow.
He's playing. They've already come out and said.
They did.
Yeah.
Finally tonight.
He's for sure coming. Yeah. He's for sure playing.
So, yeah. Well.
So this, Chase, before we move on, I got one more thing to say. Vegas believes in us. That spread was actually money did come in on OKC finally. I thought that was a little low. You know, OKC favored by 3.5 in a game one against us.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, it's a 4-5 seed and we're somewhat, close as far as talent and all those things. For them to only be favored by 4, it moved to 5 by the time it tipped. A lot of money came in on OKC. After the way we kind of lost, I thought this spread would come out for game two and be a little bit bigger. They opened it at 4. It's moved down to 3.5.
Interesting.
Which is crazy to me. So Vegas freaking believes in this Jazz team. Over-under set at 206. I believe in this Jazz team too. I really don't think it's even like a killer to go down 0-2. We have to protect our home court when it comes back here.
Yep.
But yeah, Vegas thinks we can get game two. I think we can get game two. Let's go get game two. I mean, one game at a time. So go Jams.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think every person I've talked to just says, like, no way Paul George shoots like that again. It's like, yeah, Paul George can get, how many points he end up with? 30-something?
36.
It's like, yeah, he can get 36 points, but not on 8 of 11 shooting from threes. Like, it's going to take a lot more attempts. And every attempt he takes is going to take away from the other two guys, right? So he had an extremely efficient game. I just would be shocked to see that again. Not saying it can't happen, because it can happen with Melo and Westbrook. You know, Paul might not shoot as well. Paul might get 15 points tomorrow, but maybe Westbrook goes off for 35. Chances are Westbrook's is going to be less efficient, because Westbrook ended up with 25 points or something like that, but he also shot the ball 25 times.
Jeez,
you know. So, I just don't see that efficiency happening again. At least my fingers are crossed it doesn't, because then we're in trouble.
We just got to win. I mean, it sounds so cliche, but we just have to win some 50-50 balls, get a couple bounces, maybe get a couple extra possessions with some offensive rebounds,
extra possessions.
Yeah, and then just. Don't turn the ball over on the road. It's asking a lot, but that's how we're going to have to play. Yep. And we can play that way, so let's freaking do it.
Yep, I'm with you. Jazz on 3.
1, 2, 3.
Jams. All right, so let's talk about our new segment. We are going to do some over-unders.
OV-undies.
OV-undies. Shout out to Spencer Johnson, our guest last week. He said 80% people getting shot over stabbed. He was right on. Our Twitter poll was 79-21 for people getting shot.
That's so crazy to think about that. Yeah. People would just, 8 out of 10 people would rather be shot than stabbed. But I'm in those 8, so I guess I'm weird too.
I think there's just something so personable about getting stabbed. Like, they got to be really close to you. You got to look them in the eye. Shot, you could be like 100 yards away.
There's just a second part to being stabbed, and that's the blade in and being pulled out. Yeah, it's just
not good.
Freaks us out.
Also, yeah, I don't know.
Okay,
there's a lot of thoughts on that. But anyway, Spencer won that round. He guessed closest. What do you have this week for us?
You want me to go first then, Jay, with my question? Okay. OV undies. Here we go. What does the average human eat in pounds per year? And I wouldn't say average human. I would say average North American.
like the amount of foods
in pounds
per year.
Yes. What do you got? Take your time. Break it down. Do some quick math. Carry the one. Pounds per year. Average Northern American. Go ahead.
Ready?
Yeah.
I'm probably way off.
Excited.
7,000 pounds.
Please, Chase, I can't have a heart attack on air. How did you get to that number?
I started logically approaching this, okay? And I was thinking, okay, how much does the average meal weigh? And I came to about a pound and a half.
Okay.
And then I quickly thought, this is going to take way too much calculation. I just said 7,000.
Okay.
So
you're in the right measurement of thousands. So that's good. So it's not like crazy off, but it's 1,996 pounds. So it's essentially 2,000 pounds. 7,000 sounds funny to me.
Yeah. I probably eat about 7,000. So,
well, that is the thing. It is based on 2,700 calories, but this seems like I know we're obese as a country and all that. This does seem like a fat person. It says these are kind of the breakdowns of it. Age 36.6 years old. Height 5'9 for a male at 190 pounds, 5'4 for a female at 164 pounds. So, well, you got to think there's a lot of women out there that have had babies, you know, but that does seem kind of small for a man, right?
I mean, yeah, average dude.
All right, don't focus on that too much. So, this is the breakdown of foods, which I think is kind of interesting. So fats and oils, we eat 85 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Red meat, we eat 110 pounds.
Oh my gosh, triple that for me.
Chicken, we eat 60 pounds.
Triple that for me.
We eat 32 pounds of eggs, 31 pounds of cheese.
Quadruple that for me.
600 pounds of dairy products that are non-cheese. So like milk and yogurt and all that stuff. Crazy. Let's see. What are some interesting ones? The biggest one here is actually like the most
candy
vegetables, 415 pounds of veggies, 24 pounds of coffee, cocoa, and nuts, 273 pounds of fruits. This also includes 29 pounds of French fries, 23 pounds of pizza.
That sounds like a Tuesday.
24 pounds of ice cream, 53 gallons of soda, which I guess like in the South and stuff, you know, a lot of people drink tons of soda.
Yeah.
I don't think I drink a lot of soda, but
I bet Utah drinks a lot because they don't drink coffee.
Yeah.
As much.
53 gallons. That's about a gallon a week, obviously 52 weeks in a year.
Ugh.
Sodium. We eat 2.8 pounds of sodium, which is 47% more than the recommended.
Is it on there?
They don't have sugar.
Probably, I mean, it's in everything, so probably 1,000 pounds.
Yeah. Wow. 1,996 pounds. Okay. That was fun, Chase. Thank you for that. Oh, they do have caloric sweeteners, which includes corn syrup, 42 pounds.
So if I don't eat sugar for a year, I'll lose 42 pounds.
Yeah, that would be like no sugar, though, in anything.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right.
Think I can do it?
You'll die.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, you would. Shock to your system.
Okay, so mine isn't as cool as that, I guess. But it's kind of a prelude into our next week.
Yeah. We got a little.
So the NFL draft's coming up. And the NFL draft is basically, we had Cardi on early a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. You know, that dude eats, breathes and sleeps NFL drafts, loves it. But in the NFL draft, they measure everything. Measure your hand, your legs, your feet, your height, your weight, your vertical, your this, your that. How fast you can run, how fast you can cut, how many passes you can catch, how fast you can do certain drills, right?
How big your hands are, yeah.
Yeah, they measure it all. They also measure your brain. And they do this through a fairly, dare I say, controversial test.
Well, it's not like a lobotomy, Chase. I mean, it's, what do you mean controversial?
Just not a lot of people know what it's all about, basically.
Okay.
And this test is called the Wunderlich.
Yeah.
So basically, it's an aptitude test is what it is. And the Wunderlich is used in the NFL to test how smart you are.
Right.
And they give it to all, they give it to every player. Teams give it to the players they want to draft, they're interested in. They see how smart they are. According to this test, the scores go from 0 to 50. 50 is a perfect score. There's only been one NFL player who has tested perfect. And that was, I actually have it here, Pat McNally, who was a wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals. He's the only player to record a confirmed perfect score of 50, and that was in 19... he played from 1976 to 1985. Frank Gore, one of my favorite players of all time, actually scored lower than the normal level of aptitude, which you're like a normal functioning human being should score 10. He scored a 6.
Is that the lowest?
One of the lowest ever recorded.
Yeah. So what's your, do you have a question for me?
I'll get there. Oh, okay. I'm giving you a little background. Okay.
All right.
Get off my back. But everybody knows Frank Gore actually has a learning disability. I don't know if everyone knows that, but everyone knows he's a great football player, right? So it's basically what I'm saying is, like, you know, the guy that scored the 50, Pat McNally, it's not like he's like the greatest player of all time.
Right.
And Frank Gore scored a 6. He's not the worst player of all time. It's, so there is some give and take on it.
Right. And I think it's more looked at, right, the microscope is wider on quarterbacks.
Right.
I mean, that's what,
that's what it's mostly used for, is quarterbacks. Okay. So the average person should score a 20, but aptitude level, like a human should be able to get a 10, but the average person should score a 20.
Okay.
Now I want to ask you what the average NFL player score is. What do you think it is?
Average NFL player. So this is not a mean, it's an average.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, that's tough. I'm trying to think. Do they give it to everybody? Offensive lineman, defensive lineman?
Every position.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with... Gosh, are they smarter than the average human? You gave me that weird benchmark now. So now it's...
I know. And I probably shouldn't have done that. So I did say something wrong. So literacy is suggested at 10, a score of 10. So you're literate at 10.
Okay. I'm going to say the average NFL score is 18.
It's close.
Is it higher than 20?
No.
17.
It's 19.
19.
All so right. I guess you could say a little bit below average, right? So, and then I'll give a quick breakdown of position. Offensive tackle. Here's the average scores by position in the NFL. Offensive tackle is 26, the highest. Center, 25. Quarterback, 24. And a quarterback's, there has been proven that a quarterback's intelligence may affect his passing performance in the NFL, even if it doesn't in college. Guards and tight ends are the same at 22. Safeties are 19. Linebackers are 19. Cornerbacks are 18. Wide receivers are 17. Fullbacks are 17. And running backs are 16. Interesting kind of breakdown of the Wunderlich.
Yeah.
So basically everyone in the NFL is literate, but there are lows and highs. And then there has been rumors, it was never confirmed, according to this source anyways, that Ryan Fitzpatrick did score a perfect 50 as well.
Yeah, he's the Harvard grad.
Everyone loves to talk about his Harvard grad, right?
Yeah. And then I do remember Vince Young when he came out. He scored a 7. And so a lot of people looked at that. Obviously, he couldn't read defenses, and he didn't like to practice, so he got out of the league pretty quick. But
so here, do you want to, I actually have some scores from some well-known quarterbacks. You want to hear them? Do you want to guess on any of these?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna run down a list of about 10 quarterbacks, and you guess which one's the highest.
Okay.
Okay?
Please.
All right. There's like 40 here, so I'm just going to do like 10 random ones. Okay, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tony Romo, Colin Kaepernick, Jay Cutler, your boy, Blaine Gabbert, Eli Manning, Aaron Rodgers, and let's do one more, Cam Newton.
Okay, I remember Gabbert scoring super high, like above 35. I think Romo will be up there.
Okay.
Rodgers, and I remember Kaepernick scoring high too. So those are my four that I think are probably the highest. Do you want me to say who I think's the highest?
Yeah, who do you think's the highest?
I'm going to go with Gabbert.
Okay. Do you have the website up or no? Yeah, that's right.
I remember
Gabbert scored the highest, 42.
Yeah, I remember him killing it on the Wonderlic.
Next highest of... What?
That's just funny how you said that.
Yeah, next highest? I don't know. I remember who I said, but the lowest. Who do you think the lowest was? Let's do that one. Who was the lowest out of all those quarterbacks I said?
Eli?
Eli is actually at 39, third highest.
Damn.
The lowest is Cam Newton at 21.
Oh, yeah, Cam. Okay.
Also low, Ben Roethlisberger, 25. I mean, it just doesn't mean that much. You know, Peyton Manning, 28. Eli Manning, 39. But if you asked, if you like ask that to anybody, I guarantee you they think that Peyton Manning would have scored a higher. All just because, you know, his mind. So
let's do this, Chase. I know that you can pay a couple shekels to take a Wonderlic.
Mm-hmm.
How about me and you? Next week, we're going to do a little NFL draft preview. And we'll be talking Wonderlics about some of the guys coming up from the combine and all that, and who we think's going to go where. We'll do a, you know, bust, you know, we'll do a who we think's going to bust out of those quarterbacks and who we think's going to be the best one. We'll talk about that next week. But with that being said, let's do a little prop bet.
Okay.
You can go online and for a couple bucks, you can take a Wonderlic test. I think, say, me and you take this test. We'll have a proctor or, you know, a moderator to give it to us, either Jessica or Britt can sit there. It's 12 minutes long, and it's just however many questions you get right out of 50 in 12 minutes. And we'll go head to head. We'll see who can get score better on the Wonderlic. Let's go, Bill. $100? Yeah.
I don't like taking money from my friends. I certainly don't like taking it from my brother, but I'm in.
Here we go. $100 on the Wonderlic. Maybe
we'll put out a Twitter poll who we think who will score higher.
Yes, please, can we? Let's get all we can. I'm booking side action on this. I think I have a number in my head that I think I can hit on this thing. I haven't even seen a Wonderlic.
Never.
But I will look into it. So next episode, we'll have the results of the Wonderlic. We'll give that out. But we will put up the Twitter poll on who we think is going to win the $100, me or you. Also, like I said, I do want side action. If anyone out there wants to give me an over number, over under on a number, I'm happy to book that.
What's the number in your head? And I'm guessing it's like 33.
Oh, it's not that high. I see. Here's the
28.
Thing. 28. Dude, I just don't want to come back with like a freaking 14 or something. Really?
Yeah.
I could freeze up.
And you got to think that these guys that are taking it, they're like prepared for it, right? We're going in like with no preparation.
Yeah, I would imagine.
There has to be guys that are like our agents that have that go in and tell them what they need to know and prepare. And
right.
There has to be. So
we're going in blind. I don't think I'm like the smartest dude on the planet, but I think I'm smarter than you. So.
Okay. Let's get it.
All right.
LFG. Okay. So let's do our food review and we'll wrap it up, dude.
Okay.
So this week we went to the newest, hottest, pardon the pun, place in town down in Salt Lake City. This is a little joint. They kind of take the same J-Dog's approach, if you will. They serve hot chicken, Nashville hot chicken, and this place is called Pretty Bird.
Yep.
What do you have for me on it?
So it's been all the rage. I've seen it popping up everywhere lately. A lot of people loving it. So Chase and I actually, we went separate.
Yep.
Chase went a couple of days ago. I stopped in tonight on my way up here to record it. And so we didn't actually get to experience it together, but I'll give you my take first. Actually, you should go first, Chase.
Okay. And just so people know, this is it's located on Regent Street, which is right down by the Galvin Center.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really small place. Like there's like literally like 10 spots to sit in there.
Yep, it's north of the Galvin Center, down that little alleyway you have to drive down. Chase is right. It's just a little bar. Yep. It's two little bars and then like a drink station. There's maybe 12 seats in the whole thing.
Yeah. I said 10, but you said 12. So we'll see who's smarter. Okay. Nice. No, but I went in lunchtime, line out the door, 30-minute wait. So their menu, they basically have two items. You can get a quarter bird, you know, just basically a chicken or chicken sandwich. Chicken sandwich comes with purple slaw, pickles, sauce, hot chicken. You can choose the level of chicken you want, hotness, spiciness. I asked, I said, how spicy is it? And because they have like, I think medium or mild, medium, hot, and then hot from behind is their hottest. And I thought, you know, it's hot chicken, I'm going to get hot. And I'm not a huge hot fan. She said it reminds her, like the lady I asked said, it's like hot Cheetos, like it just kind of like lingers after, stays in your mouth and your mouth stays hot. So I got the chicken sandwich combo, comes with some crinkle cut fries. You can also get coleslaw as your side, and a drink. And we were lucky enough to get a place at the bar. Me and my buddy sat down and ate. I thought it was really good. Once again, spicy food gives my speed eating like a power up. Mm-hmm. It's a level up for me. Like I get a multiplier. So I think I finished the sandwich in about 43 seconds. I thought it was great. It was good. My gripe with it, is price for a chicken sandwich combo, you know, drinks, fry, sandwich, $15. Just didn't warrant it for me. I can go to Chick-fil-A and get two spicy chickens for $8.
Yeah.
You know? And to me, it's like almost just as good.
So
it's just a little fancier from this place.
Yeah, it's a little bit higher end. I'm fine with paying more as long as it fits the quality.
Right. Absolutely.
So my takeaway was I was really excited for this, man. I've seen it everywhere. People are telling me it's the best chicken they've ever had. Got hyped up quite a bit. So I was excited. I actually went in by myself, sat at the bar. I talked to that dude that actually runs it. His name is Viet Pham is his last name. He's Vietnamese from Malaysia. But he went on a cooking show and took second. I think like the Beat Bobby Flay on the Food Network or something like that. And
what's his name?
Bobby Flay, Chase.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And anyway, so he was on there, kind of made a name for himself, and then he's opened a couple of restaurants here, and this is his newest spot.
What are some of the other ones he's opened, do you know?
Forage, which is like a high-end restaurant downtown that has really, really high reviews. And then I can't remember, there's another one. I think this might be his third one in Salt Lake City.
Oh, interesting.
So he was actually the guy that served me. I sat at the bar and chatted with him for a second. He was super nice. I got the hot behind, so the hottest that you could get. I got the crinkle cut fries. I got an extra side of pickles for $1. I'll get to the pickles in a minute. And then what did I do? I got everything on it. Like you said, so they cook it all right there. It's like an open kitchen. You can kind of see how they make it. They're lathering on this marinade or whatever you would call it for chicken. They're like brushing it on. It's like a liquid. And it's weird. When you first take a bite of this chicken sandwich, you can taste the heat, but there's also something sweet in that in the skin. In the breading, sorry, that they put on it. Mm-hmm. So it has this sweet thing that hit me right off the bat, and I wasn't really ready for that, which I was kind of fine with because with the heat and sweet, you know, nice little combo there.
Yeah.
Okay. The best part of the sandwich for me was the red cabbage slaw, which that's never a good sign. They have
not the chicken.
No, it was the chicken itself was good. I didn't love the flavor of the breading, that sweet, whatever it was. It didn't sit well with me. They asked if I wanted Pretty Bird sauce, and I said, yeah. It looked like a fry sauce that they gave me to dip my fries in. They put that directly on the sandwich. It's not necessarily a mayo or a fry sauce. I don't know how to explain it. It did not sit with me well. I did not like the sauce. It actually ruined the sandwich for me. I couldn't finish the sandwich.
Look at this, a negative review on this Salt City Sports.
A hot take.
Hot chicken, hot take.
Didn't finish my meal. The fries, I think they come frozen. I think they're putting them in a fryer, but they were frozen. They're crinkle cut. They're putting the same, like, some Cajun seasoning on them. They're dressed up a little bit. Nothing to write home about. The pickles were incredible. Pickles are really good. They're like Clausen style almost.
Yep.
But they're little round chips. They were really good. Like I said, the red slaw with the vinegar sauce was awesome. I feel bad. I didn't even finish my sandwich. And I got the combo chase with a PBR. It was $21. I paid $5 to park. I went down there and ate half a chicken sandwich for $26.
I've never, ever experienced that.
I would rather
chicken sandwich part.
Eat $26 worth of Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
Yeah, that was kind of what I came away with. Like, I'm glad I went and tried it. It was good. I just, for me, I'm not a cheap guy when it comes to food. Like, I'll, you know, I will go to the $50 steakhouse steak. I'll get it, and I know it's worth it. You know, if I know it's worth it, right? But when I pay $15 for, like, basically fast food, I mean, it's quick service food. It's not fast food, but it's quick service, right? I would put it in the same vein as, like, a Cafe Rio. I really would. $15 for a chicken sandwich, fries, and a drink, it wasn't worth it to me.
I wanted to like that it was like, so much.
Like, I'm not trying to be like anti-hipster because it's like super popular. Everyone loves it. It's good. It was a good chicken sandwich to me. But yeah, like I said, I would rather take that $15 and go get two chicken sandwiches or even spicy chicken sandwiches deluxe from Chick-fil-A and still have $5 in my pocket.
Chase, I wanted to like it so much. You see the pictures of these chicken sandwiches. They're beautiful.
It was on the front page of Reddit the other day.
Mine looked incredible. And I do think I'll be in the minority here.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying I'm right. I think a lot of people will enjoy this. So please, everyone, go try it because it is new. It is a little bit different take on a chicken sandwich. And a lot of people really like it. Please tell me how wrong I am. I wish I liked it, but I didn't.
I would say, too, if you're going to go, you're going to wait in line.
Oh, yeah. I was out the door.
And it's out the door.
Like, I was waiting outside.
On a cold day, and it was like,
yeah,
kind of sucked. So just plan ahead for that. Real quick, breaking news. Pelicans beat the Trailblazers 111-102. Pelicans have a 2-0 lead.
Mother F. Come on, Dame. Well, maybe if they get swept, he'll come to Utah.
That'd be cool. All
right. That pisses me off.
So let's wrap it up on that note. Go Jazz. Let's go tie it up. And we're going to put out a few Twitter polls for you guys. Let us know what you think about the Wonderlic, who's smarter, basically, in 12 minutes. We appreciate the feedback we get from you guys. We appreciate our subscribers. Like us on SoundCloud. Follow us on SoundCloud. And subscribe on iTunes if you don't. Also, remember to follow us at Salt City Podcast on Twitter. Anything else you want to add, Clay?
That was it. Thanks, Chase. Good luck in
the Wonderlic. He's really mad. I think he bet on the Blazers. So
yeah, sorry. I was heavy on them. Good Lord. No cheating on this. We'll have everyone, just so everyone knows, we are both men of our words. We'll have someone that administers the test. Don't be taking any like weird test, fake tests online or getting cheat sheets or anything. We're just going into this blind.
You don't have to worry about that.
Okay.
So, all right. Okay. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.